It's On Second Thought. I'm Tony Harris.
They are beautiful. They are blooming almost everywhere, and they are a real nuisance. They are Bradford pear trees. These white bloom factories have a deserved reputation as a nuisance. They certainly frustrate many environmentalists, including my next guest. Brian Williams is the urban forestry director for the group Trees Atlanta, and he joins me here in studio. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Let's talk about Bradford pear trees. Why are they called an ecological nightmare?
I would say they've got, in terms of the ecology, it would be their invasiveness. That's an ecological nightmare. They're a nightmare for other reasons as well, but they do escape. They cross-pollinate with other cultivars of pears, and you can go out and see them in sort of old fields and edge places throughout Atlanta. Small
so
ones.
There are, you were telling me there are three reasons why the Bradford pear is a problem, right?
Right.
It's the odor, it's the branching,
and it's the invasiveness.
Okay. Right.
The first two is purely from a human aspect. It bothers us. So the odor, most people will tell you it smells like ammonia is the politest way to put it. There's some organic chemistry going on there, and those compounds that the flowers are putting off, they're in decomposing flesh, they're in old fish. It's just an unpleasant smell, and you get that tree covered in flowers. It's actually attracting some type of fly or beetle. You know, that's what that odor is designed to attract.
What's the branching issue?
The branching issue, if you look at one of these trees, you see that it's got a lot of branches that all come from the same point on the trunk, about midway up. That makes for very weak branch attachment. They're going to split off. It's not a matter of if, but when they're going to split off.
Okay, so how long have they been everywhere in Atlanta? And I guess these trees are everywhere. And how did they get here?
They were a deliberate introduction.
We did this to ourselves?
We did this to ourselves. We do everything to ourselves in the plant world. We bred this tree. We can't plant common pear in the South because of a disease called fire blight. So we bred this tree in the hopes of getting an ornamental pear that would survive in the South. And we sure did that. It survives. And to the point of it's all over the place.
And they actually grow a pear, right? Well, a tiny.
Very small pear. It's the size of a berry. It's really only birds eat them. You know, you couldn't make a meal out of them, and they probably don't taste very good either.
Well, aren't they were they designed to be a sterile tree?
They are self-sterile, which means all the Bradfords are clones. It's the same individual. So a Bradford pear and a Bradford pear can't pollinate itself. But a Bradford pear and another cultivar of a pear tree, or even a different species of pear tree, can cross-pollinate.
So how much, to what extent are they kind of the bane of your existence in the work that you do? Because I can feel the heat coming from you.
Not to the level of, let's say, kudzu or English ivy or privet. Those are the A-list invasives. You know, Bradford pear is kind of a B-list,
right,
where you go after it if you have the time, or if it's in your yard, it's a great target. You know, who wants 50 of these coming up, dropping limbs on your car or your house?
Yeah.
You know, get it while it's small.
Get it while it's small. We'll get back to get it. The Cleveland Select. What's the Cleveland Select?
So Cleveland Select is a different cultivar of the same parent species. When we started noticing the problems with the Bradford cultivar, there was some breeding done to improve the branching structure, and that's where the whole cross-pollination thing came in. We started introducing different clones, and we kind of made the problem worse while trying to make it better.
So if they're weak-limbed, right, if they've got problems with the branching structure, does that make them particularly susceptible to, you know, stormy seasons here in Atlanta?
Yes, okay. I think the biggest precipitating factor of limb drop is probably high winds with them. Ice loading might be another one, but in Atlanta, it's going to be windy days, you know, some of the storms we get. Those big branches that are attached weakly to the trunk, you know, they can split off, and you'll see a third or half of the tree kind of shear off and drop on the ground.
Are they easy to identify?
They are definitely easy to identify when in bloom because of said odor. You can walk right up to them when in doubt. You know, you'll see a kind of an upright tree with a cone-shaped crown that comes to a point, and they're covered in white flowers in the spring.
And what's your suggestion? What do we do about them?
Well, you've got to decide, you know. Again, I say it's not a matter of if it's going to break apart, but when. How big is your tree? About 25, 30 years is the point at which that starts to happen. Do you want to be proactive about it and take it out before it breaks? Do you want to kind of wait on it and when it becomes a problem, take it out? But at some point, you will probably have to have the tree removed. And there are a host of better trees you can plant.
Okay. What would you replace it with?
I would say if you love the flowering form, if you love that, those masses of white flowers, you go with another member of the rose family, another fruiting tree. You can go with any number of ornamental cherries. Those will have white blooms on them. You can go with an ornamental crab apple. We've got a great one called Callaway that, you know, there's other options out there.
Brian, good to meet you.
All right. Thank you.
That's Brian Williams. He is the Urban Forestry Director of Trees Atlanta.